Off the ball
on News Talk.
In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.
Okay, let's take a moment's pause from wallowing in our own self-pity to see who else is wallowing in self-pity at the moment. The Italians surely are, after failing to qualify for the World Cup for just the second time in their history and the first time since 1958, beaten by Sweden on Monday night. We're joined on the line by football writer Paddy Agnew. Evening, Paddy.
Good evening, Jonathan.
So you wrote a book, The Fall and Rise of Italian Football. Is there going to be a sequel with The Fall and Rise and Fall Again of Italian Football?
And Rise Again. there might be a book, but Well, think about that. What is for sure is that this is a major setback, not just for Italian football, but for the nation, because football is so much part of the national DNA here that the idea that Italy doesn't go to the World Cup next summer is just too hard. It's hard for them to believe. One of the consumer pressure groups the other day issued a statement. They said it'll cost us about €1 billion.
Mm.
And what they're talking about is not just what it costs the Football Federation in the incentives you get to play in the World Cup, the selling of jerseys, the whole ancillary business. What they're talking about is all those bars, cafes, restaurants up and down the country that would have been putting up a big screen expecting to have sort of World Cup nights. The 20,000 Italians who would have been heading off to Russia, etc., etc., etc. But I mean, the figure is entirely speculative. But what is true is that the Italian football did not expect this, and a lot of people are not happy. An awful lot of people feel is that somebody should pay for this disaster in political terms. In other words, Coach Ventura and President of the Federation, Tavecchio. And what the situation we have there is that Ventura has indeed been sacked. He was sacked last night.
Yeah.
But he did not do the honourable thing and resign. Mm. He didn't do that because by being sacked, he obviously is entitled then to argue that the Federation's broken the contract and he gets himself an extra 800,000. In other words, he keeps on being paid through to June of next summer. But in the meantime, the man who the majority of public opinion feel is the number one culprit around here at the moment, Tavecchio, the Football Federation president, he's hanging on to his job despite calls on all sides for him to resign. And not only that, but he has a plan to sort of save himself, which would be that he's going to have he had a meeting with the Football Federation yesterday. He's going to have another one early next week, and he hopes to be able to present Carlo Ancelotti as the new manager of Italy, and that way to save his own neck.
Is that likely to happen?
Well,
Is it a move Ancelotti that will appease the baying mob?
Well, it would appease the baying mob to a certain point. There's no doubt about it, because Ancelotti is not only one of the best of the Italian coaches, of a great generation of Italian coaches, but he's a very popular guy. The only problem is that Tavecchio, the Football Federation president, is so unpopular that if he's seen as the man who's been put there by Tavecchio, it won't help him one little bit. It's also not clear. I mean, Ancelotti's a guy who's, as you know, I don't have to repeat to our listeners, he's, won everything he could possibly win in club football. He's won it with AC Milan. He's won it with Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, Paris Saint-Germain, Chelsea. I mean, there isn't a place where he hasn't gone and won. He's a fantastic coach. It could be, I'm not sure if he's decided he's finished with club coaching yet. Maybe he's got some other ideas. There's been a lot of speculation that there are different Premiership clubs, for example, looking for him for next season. So I wouldn't count that chicken as hatched just yet.
I was going to say that Carlo Ancelotti, as always, had the look of a manager who'd be cut out for international football, the way he can go and motivate players. But I'm conscious of the fact we've probably spent most of this show talking about Martin O'Neill as a great motivator, but criticising the fact that there's been a lack of preparation. And that was a lot of the criticism of Ancelotti when Bayern Munich decided to get rid of him.
Yeah.
But looking at his motivational powers, is that exactly what Italian football needs right now?
Italian football needs to create... One problem is that the national football team has got to find itself a more successful working relationship with the major clubs so they don't cause so much problems about releasing players. You know, they only release players for games where they, under FIFA or UEFA rules, they have to release them. But on more than one occasion, both... Gianpiero Ventura and Antonio Conte before him try to organise a special coaching session for the national team in quieter periods of the season, and it just simply didn't happen. And because the national team, the national federation, just doesn't have that power to twist the arms of the big club.
There's not many that do.
No, they don't. But that would be the only type of organisation that you'd need to. Look for or to improve on. I mean, otherwise, if somebody like Ancelotti, if you gave him the same squad of players that Ventura had, you know, I think he'd get better results. I mean, I'll tell you, one thing's very simple. When Conte's Italy played Spain in the European Championships last summer, they beat them 2-0. 3 months later, 9 of the same 11 players played Spain in Turin, and were completely run off the pitch in a 1-1 draw, and the difference was that Conte was coaching in Paris and Ventura was coaching in Turin.
You couldn't have two more different backgrounds in a way between Ventura and Ancelotti, in that Ventura,
yeah.
I know that Carlo Tavecchio said that he was an innovative coach with limitless experience, but he was also a coach with limited success. It seems as though the players never fully respected Ventura. Would that be fair to say?
Absolutely. But the point about Ventura was he was somebody who was seen as a Sam Allardyce figure, somebody who's been around a lot and done a lot, and he's got teams to play quite well. But he never had coached a big side. He'd only coached a team in a competitive match 7 times outside of Italy his entire career. You know, he's in his late 60s now. And he, he had never coached AC Milan, Inter Milan, Juventus, Roma, Lazio. He'd never coached a potential title winner. So to say he had limitless experience wasn't true. He had very limited experience, in fact, by comparison with the great Italian coaches that there are around, the Contis, the Mancinis, the Ancelottis.
It was very noticeable during Euro 2016 that Conte had Italy in a system that got the very best out of them, out of that group of players. And he looked like the outstanding coach at Euro 2016, and he followed that up by what he had done at Chelsea. But you look around Europe now and you look at the quality of international managers, and it's not that appealing for most young, ambitious managers. So for Tavecchio, the Italian Football Federation president, to get Carlo Ancelotti as a successor to Ventura, would that be seen as quite a coup?
Yes, it would, yeah. I mean, one of the problems about, there are some jobs in world football, and being coach of Italy is one of them, but it's a bit like being coach of Argentina or Brazil. I mean, you find yourself in a situation where there are only 56 million Italians who think they could do the job better than you, and they are quite happy to say that on a daily basis, you know, when the attention is focused on the national team. So it's a job, it's something of a poison chalice sometimes, and not just that, but Italy is... the country that sort of, Ancelotti himself said it once, every 24 years we win the World Cup, and every 12 years we at least get to the final, you know. So, I mean, the Italian football fans' expectations are pretty high. They set the bar high, and that makes it a very difficult job.
Do they look at this then solely as a failure of Ventura, or is this a failure of Italian football and the way Italian football has gone over the last 15, 20 years?
No, I think people would look at it much more as a failure of Ventura, and even more of Tavecchia, the Federation president, who chose Ventura. And a lot of people would just feel that there are some good players there. The team could play better. I think a lot of people would say, okay, well, maybe this isn't quite. We don't maybe have Paolo Maldini or Roberto Baggio, Alessandro Del Piero, Francesco Totti. But we haven't maybe got the players of that level anymore. I'm not so sure. I think there's one or two players in the current Italian team, a guy like Insigne, who really, you know, in another context, could be very, very good. What is true is that the Italian team may not be as good as the team that this one may not be. A lot of people would say it might be. It wouldn't be as good as the team that won the 1982 World Cup. It wouldn't be as good as the team that Marcello Lippi won the 2006 World Cup with. But what is sure is that this team is a lot better than they looked against Sweden, and they should have qualified for the World Cup.
The mutinous atmosphere that seemed to be within the squad, and particularly what we saw from Daniele De Rossi, where he was essentially refusing to go on. Yeah. How's that gone down in Italy?
Well, everybody points to that, and particularly the incident you've highlighted there, as total proof of the extent of which Ventura had lost the confidence of the players. I mean, Ventura, as somebody who was seen to have had a lot of experience by the players when he took over the team, he was well received by the players and by the so-called senators in the team, who felt that this is a guy who knows football. He'll listen to us.
Right.
But the relationship between the players between Ventura and the players deteriorated greatly in September when they played the return game against Spain, which was obviously going to be a decisive game. And, you know, a number of the senior players, including Captain Buffon, people like Bonucci, Barzagli, Chiellini, they went to talk to him before that game and said to him, look, because he'd been making very bellicose sort of statements to the media beforehand and saying, we're going to go out there and we're going to try and, you know, mix it. And they went out, you know, they said to him, look, you know, with this Spanish side, we gotta play it very, very tight. We can't, you know, otherwise we'll get hammered. You know, if we try to mix it with them, we're going to get hammered. Well, they did try to mix it with them, and they got massacred. And after that, for the next game, when they were on the eve of the two games later, the next time the national team met, game against Macedonia, they players had this infamous player meeting. They excluded Ventura from the meeting, and that was obviously an indication to all of us that there's something not happy here in this camp. And I'm now informed that before the playoff against Sweden, before the two legs, Buffon and one or two of the other players again went to Ventura and said to him, look, you know, you've got to play Insigne now. You've got to play El Shaarawy. You've got to, because these are probably the two most informed strikers in Italian football at the moment. You've got to play them in this game. Belotti and Immobile, his normal first choice players who did play in the game, are both of them coming back for an injury. And the players are saying, you've got to do that. And apparently there was a pretty frank exchange between him and the players, and he said, well, I'm picking the team, and that's that.
Yeah, and look at him now.
Looking
at Ancelotti then, if it is Ancelotti or whoever it is, Ancelotti particularly likes to play a pretty attacking style of football, a free-flowing style of football. How important is style to Italian supporters? Because I think of Conte, and Conte played to Italy's strengths, to what were Juventus' strengths, and had that three-man defence where you had three of the best centre-halves, you have one of the great goalkeepers of all time, and he built his team around that. Yeah. And you go from that to playing essentially with a 4-2-4 in the Bernabeu and getting whipped by Spain. Was there a pressure on Ventura to play a more attacking style of football?
No, there wasn't. Some of his critics would say that one of the problems was that he wanted to put his own imprint in the team, and one of the ways he wanted to do that was to move away from the 3-5-2 traditional Italian game that Conte used, as you say, and to be a bit more adventurous. And what Buffon and friends were trying to say before the Spanish game is, okay, all very well being Avengers, but don't be trying that against this lot. This is Spain. They'll beat the arseholes if you do that. And of course,
they were
didn't listen to them, and they were right, you know.
Yeah. All right, Paddy, great stuff. Thanks for joining us from Rome. No Italy or Ireland at the World Cup finals next summer. Paddy Agnew there on the line from Rome.
Off the Ball on News Talk.
In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.